Good morning, Harvest Time. Are you ready to worship the Lord with us this morning? Let's go.
There is no shadow that has ever overcome your light. There is no rival that could ever take against your might. You'll always be with us. The battle we've already won. We've already won. There is no weapon ever left a mark on you. There is no army with the power to conquer truth. It's been with us. Every battle we've already won. We've already won. Show me one thing you can do. Show me a mountain he can move. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters that can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. It's possible. Standing at the speed of light, and in his kingdom, that thing is bound to rise. Oh God, our Redeemer, he is faithful to revive. Oh, he will revive. Show me one thing he can do. Show me a mountain. Show me waters he can part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
It's possible. Let's sing this together this morning, amen? Let go.
All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake out despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith. I will crush disappointment and break every chain.
Here we go!
All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance, I will dance out in faith.
I will crush disappointment and break every chain.
All of my fear I will turn into praise. Shake off despair as I sing out your name. A victory dance,
I will dance out in faith.
I will crush disappointment. Show me one thing he can do. Show me a mountain he can move. He is the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible. Show me one thing that's too hard. Show me waters he can't part. He's the God of the breakthrough, and anything is possible.
Yeah. Anything is possible with the Lord.
Anything.
Do you believe that this
possible
morning? Yeah.
Oh.
Anything is possible.
Worship him and think of all the good things he's done for you, he is doing. see all of heaven come. Every fear will bow at the Father's perfect love. Kingdom is at hand. The gates of hell won't stand. And in victory we lift our song again.
All that I have is a heart. except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah.
I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing for a king.
amazing time of worship this morning, harvest time. At this time, you can turn and greet your neighbor, and we'll go into the announcements.
We're so glad you're joining us. Whether you're in person or online, here are a few things you need to know. There are a lot of great things happening at Harvest Time. Here are a few ways you can get involved right now. To check out all things that are going on, scan the QR code or visit htchurch.com.
If you would like to give, you can visit htchurch.com, click on Give at the top of the page, use our Realm Connect app to set up reoccurring giving, or give at any time using our Harvest Time offering envelopes.
We have so many opportunities to believe, belong, and be light. For more information on all things Harvest Time, see us at the Connect Desk. We love you, Harvest Time Church. Have a great week.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church and Sun Tanning Parlor. We're so glad that you've joined us for worship today. Vacation Bible School starts tonight. It's one of the most exciting weeks of the year. We're going to be here every evening at 6:30, Monday through Thursday. If you have kids, if your kids have kids, if your neighbors have kids, if there's kids in your neighborhood, find a kid and bring them to Vacation Bible School. And it's an opportunity for them to just hear the gospel in language and express in a way that they can just receive it, understand it. I can't tell you how many times over the years we've had people come to us and say, as a kid, someone invited me to Sunday school or to a kids' crusade or to a vacation Bible school, and I prayed a prayer of believing on Jesus. Maybe they didn't have a home life that really supported that decision to follow Christ, but they know that later on in life, they really came to a full expression of faith, and they can point back to that moment as a child that they first received the gospel. How many of you know the gospel is good seed? It's powerful seed. It bears fruit in people's lives. So hope you'll join us tonight at 6:30. We can still do walk-in registration for kids. If you haven't signed up to be part of the team, but you want to help out, it's just a great week, and we're going to have a great time together. We want to thank you for all of your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving. Your tithe is the first 10% of what the Lord has entrusted to you. We want to thank you for giving to our building fund and to the work of missions. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "Be assured of this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but whoever sows generously will reap generously. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you have enough to get by." Oh no, that's not what it says. It says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you always have everything you need to abound in every good work. How many of you know that's a good promise right there? And I want to tell you, we have found God's word to be true. You can use the offering envelope to give today. You can use the envelope to give by credit card or by debit card. If you are giving that way, do make sure that you write the 3-digit code in the place that's provided on the envelope. And that way, Ethel, our bookkeeper, doesn't have to chase you down this week for that 3-digit code. If you're giving by cash and you want credit for that, just put your cash in the offering envelope, or you can slip your check in the offering envelope. We want to welcome everybody worshiping with us online this morning. We're glad you've joined us online. And you can make a gift to Harvest Time Church anytime online at our website, htchurch.com. Just click on the giving link on the top of the homepage. Some people like to give by text, and there's information for that on the screens behind me. You can also find that information in your bulletin. Just before the ushers come, a couple of things for you. Next Sunday, July 3rd, our friend Pastor Dan McCauley is going to be with us leading worship. Pastor Dan was with us here at Harvest Time for 10 years and travels all over North America. Going to be a great day of worship. And then our friend Eric Metaxas is going to be here speaking. Eric is a prolific author. He's a media personality. How many of you remember the VeggieTales? You remember VeggieTales? He's one of the co-creators of VeggieTales. Extremely witty, intelligent, loves the Lord, and always great to hear. And so it's going to be a great Sunday. And then we just want to let you know that on Wednesday nights in the month of July, every Wednesday we're going to be here. We have a summertime program for the kids in the month of July on Wednesdays. Our friend Alan Houston from the New York Knicks is going to be doing a basketball clinic for the kids. Youth group is going to be meeting on Wednesdays. And here in the sanctuary, we're going to have worship nights every Wednesday. We're just going to get in God's presence. We have some different friends coming that are going to be leading us each Wednesday. And so we hope you'll be around. If you're not on vacation and you're here in town, join us on Wednesdays. Going to ask the ushers to come wait on us. Some people have been asking about water baptism. Our next believer's baptism is going to be on Wednesday night, July 27th. And so if you haven't yet been baptized in water since you've become a believer in Jesus, we hope that you'll take the plunge on Wednesday night, the 27th of July. Let's just give thanks as we give back to the Lord today. Father, thank you that you lavished your very best on us in Jesus. You didn't withhold the best that you had. You offered him up for us freely. Freely we've received. So freely we give back to you today with glad and sincere hearts, tithes and offerings, missions giving, building fund giving. Father, bless these loaves and fishes. Cause them to be more than enough to meet the need of this, your house, and the work of your kingdom all around the world. Bless every giver in this offering today, just like you said you would do. If your heart agrees with that, would you just say amen, amen. And amen. God bless you while you give. God bless you. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, turn with us to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, right now we're studying Paul's letters to his spiritual sons. It's a father's heart for the next generation. 1 Timothy chapter 1, while you find your way there, where are my friends Ashish and Kamal? Ashish and Kamal, where are you? Are you here? Stand up. There they are. Okay, stand up if you would, please. I want you to welcome. We have two special friends from Kathmandu, Nepal. We met Ashish when we were in Nepal a few years ago. He was one of the translators for our missions team, our medical missions team. Ashish and Kamal are studying in university here in the United States, and they came to spend the summer in New York City because, you know, it's so cheap to live in New York City. But I want to say Ashish's mom is one of the most amazing women of God that I have ever known in my life. She pastors a church of 7,000 people in Kathmandu, Nepal, and she's just an awesome woman of God. And so Ashish and Kamal, they're far away from their families, and they need like a little TLC, okay? They need like a little hospitality and a little tender, loving care. So I want you to just love on them as much as you can. Welcome them, would you please? Welcome, Ashish. Welcome, Kamal. We're glad to have you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, our friends Ed and Aaron Trask, who lead Fellowship of Christian Athletes here in Connecticut. I know that all of you are going to be at Vacation Bible School tonight at 6:30, but just in case somebody's not going to be at Vacation Bible School, tonight at New Canaan High School, our friends Ed and Aaron have a group that are packing food for families in Ukraine, and they just invited everyone. If you'd like to be part of that, 5:30 at New Canaan High School, they'll be there for an hour or two, just packing some food, some relief for Ukrainian families, and they invited us to be part of that. All right, 1 Timothy 1, reading in verse 18. St. Paul says, Timothy, my son, I entrust you with this charge. What is the charge? The charge is the order that Paul gave at the opening of chapter 1 for Timothy to stay in Ephesus and to confront some false teachers. Timothy, my son, I entrust you with this charge consistent with the prophecies once made about you, so that by recalling them, you might fight the good fight, holding on to faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck with regard to the faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. Don't have time to really comment on that verse today, but the meaning of handing them over to Satan means to excommunicate them from the church so that they might come to repentance. The church is the sphere of God's activity in the world, and the world is the sphere of Satan's activity. And so in this context, handing them over to Satan means to eject them from the church so that they might come to repentance. I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about get yourself a word. So in 2019, my alma mater, Faith Bible College, invited me to give the commencement address at graduation. I guess I didn't make a very big impression as a student because it took them 30 years to invite me to come back and speak. But I guess I did well enough because they invited me back again in 2021. No one invited me to give a commencement address this year, so I'm going to give a commencement address to you. In our house, we're celebrating our youngest daughter, Lolly's, graduation from Greenwich High School. Our own Kwame Boateng from Harvest Time Church is the student body president at Greenwich High School, and he graduated. He was the MC at the GHS graduation. We're so proud of Kwame and Ken and Jabez We just want to congratulate all of our, these are some of our HTC high school graduates from the class of 2022. But I want to take a moment, if you moved up or you graduated from middle school, high school, college, from graduate school, professional school, or a program, if you are a graduate of the class of 2022, would you stand for just one moment? And we just want to celebrate you and we want to congratulate you. There's Ken, would you stand up? Come on, all of our graduates, would you stand up? We've got them all over the place. Yeah, in the back. Come on, graduates. Deborah, where are you? All of our graduates. Let's just let them know how much we, how proud we are of them. God bless you. You can be seated. So, to our graduates, you probably received a lot of good advice in your commencement address. I'm not sure if you heard it. It's a little hard to pay attention while you're balancing a mortarboard on your head. But today I want to give you one piece of guidance that I'm sure that you didn't get at your graduation. And this is it. Get yourself a word. 1 Timothy is a letter from St. Paul to his spiritual son. As Timothy is about to embark on a new chapter in his career, a new ministry assignment, Paul gives him spiritual guidance from a father's heart. He shares the secret to his own longevity and fruitfulness in ministry. To all of our HTC graduates embarking on a new chapter in your life, and to everyone listening for the new season that's ahead of you, this is the secret to longevity and fruitfulness. Get yourself a word from the Lord. Get his direct divine guidance. Get a living promise from his lips and cling to it with all your might until that word comes to pass in your life. At strategic moments in St. Paul's life, he received direct personal words from the Lord that strengthened and guided him. First, on the road to Damascus, Jesus knocked the blasphemous Pharisee Saul off of his high horse. He said, "Saul, get up and go into the city, and you will be told what to do." In Damascus, the prophet Ananias laid his hands on Saul, and he delivered the word of the Lord to him. "This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name to the Gentiles and to their kings, and before the people of Israel, I will show him how much he will suffer for my sake." More than 20 years later, St. Paul was on trial before Herod Agrippa, and he testified that it was this very word that he received at first that guided him and sustained him across all the years of his ministry. He said, "So then, King Agrippa, I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision, and I have had God's help to this very day." Get yourself a word. Along the way, Paul had many other words too. When he arrived in the Greek city of Corinth, he was shaken to the core by the life-threatening persecution that he endured on the road. Almost immediately when he arrived in Corinth, the persecution began there also. But the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision at night and said, "Don't be afraid. Keep on speaking. I'm with you. No one is going to attack you or harm you. And I have many people to save in this city." That word from the Lord sustained Paul for the next 18 months of ministry in Corinth. In Jerusalem, Paul had to be rescued twice from angry Jewish mobs by Roman soldiers. The Roman commander at one point was afraid that the esteemed members of the Sanhedrin were going to literally tear Paul from limb to limb. But the Lord stood beside Paul's bed one night and he said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must go to Rome and testify about me." That word carried Paul through 2.5 years of imprisonment in Israel, assassination plots, bribery attempts, multiple trials before inept and corrupt politicians. Finally, on board for a ship bound for Rome, they encountered a hurricane so fierce that seasoned sailors and hardened soldiers were in despair of their lives. But God sent an angel to Paul's bedside. Take courage. You will reach Rome, and God will spare the lives of everyone who sails with you. That word of guidance from the Lord spared the lives of everyone on board, and it sustained Paul through a shipwreck and a poisonous snake bite and 2.5 years under house arrest in Rome. In every new season, in every new assignment, in every trial, Paul had a sustaining word from the Lord. Be of good cheer. I believe God, and it will be just as he told me. Now, at the start of a new season in Timothy's life, Paul is passing on this secret of success to his son. Timothy, my son, remember the prophecies that were spoken over you. Let them guide you. Use them to fight, holding on to them with all of your might. 3 times in these letters, Paul mentions a significant event that happened in the life of young Timothy when prophetic words were spoken over him. When and where this event happened, we can't say for sure. It was probably at Timothy's ordination ceremony. We know that Paul himself laid hands on Timothy. A group of elders laid hands on Timothy, possibly the same Ephesian elders that Timothy is now sent to straighten out. Gifts of the Holy Spirit were imparted to Timothy at that moment, and he received words from the Lord. Paul is telling Timothy, lean into those words, hold on to them, fight with them. Looking at Paul's advice, I want to share with you a few reasons why Timothy needed a word, and why you need a word too. A few reasons why Timothy needed a word, and why you need a word too. On your way in, you received a program, and in your program, there's an outline of today's sermon. And if you like, you can listen, fill in the blanks, and follow along. If you'd like a copy at home, there's a PDF file in the chat section of the live stream. You can just click on that link and download a PDF of the sermon outline. A few reasons, get yourself a word, a few reasons why Timothy needed a word and why you do too. First this, you need a word because God has a lot of work ahead of you. You need a word because God has a lot of work ahead of you. Like Paul and Timothy, at strategic moments in my life, I have received direct personal words of guidance from the Lord that have carried me and sustained me. When I was a senior in high school, I knew I was called into the ministry, and I was praying earnestly for God's guidance about where to prepare. I had narrowed it down to 2 schools. One was in Maine, central Maine, and one was in Florida. I'm from Philly. I love Florida. I love the warmth. I hate the winter. But don't you go anywhere, Mary. You got to stay here so till Jesus comes back. You ain't going to Florida, all right? I really wanted to do God's will, and I was praying earnestly. It was coming down to the wire to the moment that I had to make my choice. There was a special evening service at my home church. The speaker was a woman named Gwen Shaw. Some of you will know her name. She was a missionary to China. She opened up her Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2, verse 3, and she read these words, "You have gone around this mountain long enough, now turn north." And when she read those words, I knew I had my answer from heaven. A couple years later, I was a senior at Central Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. Just a few weeks before graduation, I had accepted a ministry position at my home church that was my dream job in every way. My home church back then was bigger than Harvest Time is now, and I loved my pastor. I was very close to him. He was my father in the Lord. I loved my church family. But I knew the Lord wasn't pleased with my decision, so I was avoiding engaging him in prayer for a couple of months. Anybody ever play that game? You know, God's not really happy with the choices you're making, so you just put them on hold. At the very end of the semester, I was typing a paper in my dorm room. And one afternoon, the Holy Spirit spoke to me as clear as I've ever heard his voice. He said to me, Glenn, he said, you can take that ministry position if that's what you want to do. You can pursue the ministry as a career path if you want to think about it that way. Or you can be a man led by my Spirit. I want to tell you the truth. I never felt the fear of God more than I did at that moment. I knew that God had enough of my shenanigans and that he meant business. Beloved, I want to tell you, God is endlessly patient, but there is a moment at which he will not strive with you. He isn't going to play with you anymore. I got up from my desk and I ran to the prayer room in our dorm, and I dropped on my knees and I asked God to forgive me for being disobedient and being stubborn. And then I went back to my dorm room and I wrote the most difficult letter of my entire life, telling my home pastor that I couldn't come home. It changed our relationship forever. It was never the same after that. But I want to tell you, I was 24 years old then. I've been in continuous full-time ministry for 31 years, and I have never once from that day ever applied for a ministry position. God has supernaturally opened every door for us, and he's guided our footsteps. A few years after that, I was about to graduate from the Assemblies of God Seminary. One of our professors walked into my office one night. I was an employee at the seminary. He said to me, Glenn, where are you going? And I looked up and I said, Dr. Wood, Denise and I have been praying for a year for the Lord to open a door to a local church for ministry. And he looked at me and he said, I know where you belong. When he said those words, I knew that God was speaking through him, and where we belong is right here at Harvest Time Church. A few months after that, we landed here in Greenwich, and one day, Pastor Tate, our founding pastor, took me out to Frank's Pizza in Portchester for lunch. Uncle Brian, he loved the minestrone at Frank's Pizza. He looked at me and he said, Glenn, I think you're going to be the next pastor of Harvest Time. We worked side by side together for two more years, and then in January of 1999, he handed the baton to me. When he left, I had very big shoes to fill. I am not now, nor have I ever been, as warm and fuzzy as Pastor Tate, and I'm not nearly as wise. We had located this piece of property, and we had signed a purchase contract, but we only had about half the money that we needed to buy it. And quite frankly, I was intimidated in every way. But the Lord spoke to me from Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and courageous. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. My God, how they've tried. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Be strong and very courageous. You will lead these people into their inheritance. When God spoke that word to me, I knew that we would succeed buying this land and building the first building and building the second building, and more than that, becoming the Spirit-filled congregation that we are. That word carried me for 20 years. So in January of 2019, I began asking the Lord for a new word. The building was done, everything was finished, and I said, Lord, I have to have a new word. I can't stay here. I thank you. You gave me a word that carried me for 20 years. I have to have a new word for a new season. Fasted, prayed, waited on God for 4 months. Nothing came. Finally, in May of 2019, one week, the Lord just prompted me to start studying the story of the coin in the fish's mouth. I'd never studied that story before. I'd never preached on that story, but I was just kind of almost amused at the notion of Jesus the carpenter telling Peter the fisherman how to go and catch a fish. Beloved, listen to me. Trust the carpenter. He knows his business and he knows your business better than you know it. The Holy Spirit spoke to me while I was studying and he said, keep doing what you already know how to do, but I'm going to show you a new way to do it and I'm going to add my blessing to it. I want to tell you that word has guided us through COVID and through all the chaos of the last couple of years. Words from the Lord are accompanied by a gift of divine wisdom for the work. My executive friends don't like it very much when I say this, and they've told me so. I'm very sorry, but I want to tell you it's the truth. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't know how else to lead this church, except I sit in my office and I look out my window and I don't know what to do until I hear from God. But when I hear from him, I know what to do and I know how to do it and I have the faith to do it. Words from the Lord are accompanied with a gift of divine strength for a difficult assignment. Paul wrote about it to his friends in Corinth. He said, we've worked harder than everyone else, but it wasn't us. It was God's grace working through us. When we came to HTC, our plan was to be the associate pastors. We had made a commitment for 5 years, and then we were going to go plant a church somewhere. That's what we wanted to do, but God had some other ideas. Listen, somebody, you go ahead and write your little plans, but I want to tell you, the answer that comes is from the Lord. You're way too important to the kingdom of God for God to let you have your little plan. He'll override your plan, and you'll be glad in the end that he did. I had no idea that we'd end up leading a 20-year building project, and if I had known, I probably would have cut and run. But because we had a word from the Lord, we've never doubted that we're exactly where we're supposed to be, doing exactly what we're doing. That is the power of a living word from heaven. Get yourself a word. Why Timothy needed a word and why you do too. God has a work for you. Here's another thought. Get yourself a word because God knows there's a lot of warfare ahead of you. Beloved, listen to me. It is on like Donkey Kong. This is war. And there's warfare ahead of you. Paul says something interesting to Timothy. He says, remember the prophecies that were spoken over you and use them to fight the good fight. In Ephesus, Paul was sending young Timothy into a dogfight. Influential and highly persuasive leaders were teaching false doctrine that had dark spiritual undertones and dark spiritual outcomes. Paul's charge, his command to Timothy, was to go and confront these persuasive, influential leaders and tell them to cease and desist. But young Timothy was not like his mentor, Paul. He didn't have the gravitas. He didn't have the intelligence. He didn't have the eloquence. He didn't have the experience. He didn't have the grit of his teacher. He was thrown into the deep end of the pool with no swimmies on. But apparently, Timothy had received a word from the Lord that anticipated this hard assignment and assured him that God made him for this and called him for this and had supernaturally equipped him for it. In spiritual warfare, words from the Lord help us maintain perspective. They help us to anticipate human and spiritual opposition. Beloved, I want to tell you the gospel has always, always been fiercely opposed in the world, both by human beings and by evil spirits that work so intertwined together, it's hard to know which is which. Jesus said, they hated me with an unreasonable hatred. at the human level, it doesn't make sense. The extreme repulsion, the vitriol, the mocking, the animus, the violence. Paul said that the children of disobedience are unwittingly fueled and guided by evil spirits, and we're watching it nightly on our television screens. Demonic rage and ugly twisted faces and violence, like it or not, being a follower of Jesus means that we're at war in the world. The Christian life is combat. At the outset, Jesus warned Paul there was suffering ahead. Before Paul traveled to Jerusalem, Jesus warned him he would be arrested. When he stood trial in Jerusalem, Jesus warned him he would go to Rome. Before he got on the ship, God warned Paul they'd be caught in a storm. Before the ship sank, God assured Paul they would all be spared. Throughout the whole ordeal, Paul had the perspective that all of this was meant to happen. Paul hadn't made a mistake. He hadn't messed up. God was not displeased with Paul, and that's why he was going through all of this. Most of all, God had not forsaken Paul. God knew this was coming. It was all in the plan. God was still in control, and he was watching over Paul. Paul's testimony to Agrippa was, I have had God's help to this very day. In spiritual warfare, words from the Lord help us to hold on to faith. They give us staying power. God foreknew we were going to go through it, but he's also promised that we're going to prevail. So one way that God speaks to us is in dreams. I've had many over the years. A little while ago, I had two coyote dreams, two nights in a row. Now, some of you are going to think this is weird, but you're weird too, with all due respect. And God speaks in dreams in both testaments of the Bible. He said, your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. So I guess you know that means what I am. Thanks, Lord. Could you send me a vision? Just encourage me a little bit. So I had these two coyote dreams, two nights in a row. First night in my dream, I was standing in the driveway down the street at the parsonage, and a huge gray wolf came walking across our property leading a pack of coyotes. The coyotes were different colors, red, brown, black, gray. It was twilight time, and in the dream, the lead wolf had those evil, glowing yellow eyes. But they just walked across our property and across my driveway and down into the woods behind our house. Didn't even seem to notice that I was standing there. Next night, same evil-looking wolf leading the same pack of different color coyotes walking across our property. But this time I was standing inside our garage, looking out through the windows in our garage doors. As they were walking by, that wolf shot me a look. And one of the coyotes broke off the back of the pack and came to the garage door. Now, in the dream, I had left a ladder, a step ladder, leaning against the outside of the garage door. And I actually had, I'd put up Christmas lights, and I was lazy and never put the ladder away. So actually, there was really outside a step ladder leaning against my garage door. This coyote opened the ladder and climbed it and unlatched our garage door. I'm like, literally in the dream, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. A ladder climbing coyote? And so he opened the garage door, and we were standing there face to face, and I rebuked him in the name of Jesus. And he rejoined the pack, and they went off into the woods. That was on a Sunday and a Monday night. On Thursday of that week, we received a message from a Korean missionary telling us that he was stopping by for a visit on Sunday morning. There's a cult in South Korea. It's very large, it's very strong, and it's very invasive to Christian churches. They have a base here in the New York City area, and the way that they infiltrate local churches by joining prayer groups and life groups and Bible studies and luring people away to their teaching center on Long Island. We later learned that this missionary was from this cult, and he was very pushy. He was very aggressive with our staff, and he came to a Sunday morning service with several of his minions. See, here's the thing I love about being Pentecostal. You can come to church one Sunday, and it can be a good day, and you can come another day, and it can be a barn burner. And we had a barn burner that morning. Holy Spirit moved in a powerful way. I could tell that our friends were a little uncomfortable, and the Holy Spirit said to me, that's the meaning of the coyote dream. God gives us words ahead of time so that we're prepared to fight and to prevail by faith. God exposed it, our intercessors prayed over it, and we dispatched them in prayer. God still speaks to his church by the Holy Spirit. Get yourself a word. Why Timothy needed a word and why you do too. God has a work for you. Warfare is ahead of you. Here's another thought. You need a word because God has a narrow walk ahead for you. Jesus told us that following him, we can expect to find ourselves in the minority in this world. There is a broad road that leads to destruction, and many people are traveling it, but the path to salvation is narrow and it is far less traveled, especially now more than ever. We feel the weight of Jesus' words. We live in troubled times. America has abandoned the compass of Judeo-Christian morality that our country was built upon. They don't even know it, but they are knocking out the foundation upon which our whole society rests. Beloved, let me tell you this. Western civilization, Christianity will survive with or without Western civilization. Western civilization will not survive without Christianity. In troubled times, words from the Lord help us maintain equilibrium and stay on course. Even in the church, there are some who have decided it's just not worth it to walk this narrow way that Jesus has called us to walk. It happened in Ephesus. In verse 6 of chapter 1, Paul says, some have wandered away from the faith. In verse 19, he says, others have outright pushed away the Holy Spirit's witness in their conscience, and they have shipwrecked their faith. Even in the church, some have thrown away the compass of God's holy word and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They've caved into the pressure to go along with the rest of the world. They've compromised Christian morality and have so contaminated the essence of what it means to follow Christ. But I want to tell you, this isn't in my notes, I'm going to go off road. But there's a time coming when there's a line being drawn in the sand. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. God's so amazingly merciful and patient, but he won't strive with people forever. It's deciding time. In troubled times, words from the Lord remind us that the cost of following Jesus is well worth it. Not going to lie, the Christian life is combat, but it's a good fight. I've learned through life that not every battle is worth fighting. Not every battle is necessary. You do not have to swing at every pitch. If you see something stupid on social media, scroll on by. Not every battle matters very much in the grand scheme of things, but the Christian life is a battle worth fighting because our cause is worthy. In fact, it's the greatest cause that ever was. It's the cause of eternal life. And by the way, that begins with valuing and protecting life in the womb. The Christian life is a battle worth fighting because in the end, Jesus wins. I don't know what challenges we might yet face in our lifetime, but I jumped ahead. I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead to the end of the book, and I read how the story finishes. It ends with a rider on a white horse whose name is Faithful and True. His eyes are like blazing fires. His tongue is like a sharp, piercing sword. His robe is dipped in blood, and on his thigh is written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Riding with him are the angelic armies of heaven. He will right every wrong. He will punish every evildoer. He will reward his righteous ones. I don't know. I don't know what challenges are coming tomorrow, but I know that this all ends with the ancient serpent, the devil, bound and thrown into a lake that burns with sulfur. It ends with a new heaven and a new earth and a great banqueting table where God himself will serve us. I know that it ends with the Spirit and the bride saying, come, take the free gift of the water of eternal life. Listen, in these troubled times, be very sure that you stay on Jesus' narrow path. Be very sure that when it all comes down, you're standing on the right side of history, on God's side. Get yourself a word. You came for preaching, didn't you? All right, so you got preaching. Get yourself a word. Why Timothy needed a word and why you do too. God has a work for you. Warfare is ahead of you. A narrow walk. Finally, this worship team, come help me. You need a word because God has big wins destined for you. Can't be sure. Can't be sure what was the content of Timothy's prophecies. But based on the evidence in these letters, I think we can conclude two things. First of all, I think we can conclude that the Lord warned Timothy to anticipate opposition, but he also told him to anticipate victory. I think the gist of the prophetic word was something like this: you got this, Timothy. You were uniquely made for this. You were specifically called for this. You have been precisely equipped for this by the Holy Spirit. You are divinely gifted for this. You got this, Timothy, because I got you. And let me leave you with that thought today. In 1985, the Lord said to me, you got this, Glenn, because I got you. In 1990, he said to me, you got this because I got you. In 1992, when I met Denise, he said, you got her because I got you. In 1996, in 1999, you got this, Glenn, because I've got you. In 2008, when we started what would turn out to be a 10-year march to build this sanctuary, I literally had pastors call me and say, you will never get the zoning approval to build that building. You will never raise the money. Thanks for the encouragement, Job's friends. But the Holy Spirit said to me, you got this because I got you. And again in 2019, I can honestly tell you, Denise and I have absolutely no regrets. Through our most difficult trials, we never for a single moment second-guessed being here or the road that brought us here because we had a word from the Lord. Graduates of 2022 and everyone listening, get yourself a word. Get in your Bible. Get in your prayer closet. Get on your knees. Get on your face before the Lord. Get in the Spirit's presence through worship and praying in tongues. Get around other Spirit-filled believers. Here's an idea. Get your pastors to lay hands on you and pray for you. Get yourself a word from heaven and cling to it until it comes to pass. Would you stand on your feet and give Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, a great big praise in this place today? Oh, come on, don't give him a wimpy little praise. Let's give him a great big praise. He's worthy. He's worthy. Come on, lift up your faces. Lift up your hands to the Lord. Lift up your voices. Let's sing.
Hallelujah.
Come on, would you give the Lord one more good praise in this place today? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, everyone. I just want to pray for you before we go. I want to let you know that we have a prayer room across the foyer in that direction. If you need personal prayer, our friends will be happy to pray with you. We have coffee and donuts downstairs. Just before we pray, Auntie Terry, do you have anything from the Lord for us? Uncle Brian, if any of our prophetic people or leaders in the congregation feel like you have a word, just come real quick. Would you like to receive a word from the Lord? All right. Just come and just share with us. Go ahead, Terry.
Good afternoon. During worship, before the message came, I felt the Holy Spirit show me a picture of Queen Esther. And I heard him say that this is your Queen Esther moment, and I'm extending my scepter toward you. And I sense that we as individuals, and we as a body, and we as a nation have stepped over a threshold. And I want to encourage each of you today that where you are, each of you are in very different places, different situations, different workplaces, different family environments. And you've prayed and you've often been frightened about what God might have in store for you in the days to come, even as you look at the news, as Pastor Glenn was mentioning. But your prayers have reached his ears. And he wants us to now step over that threshold with a courageous song in our heart, but a knowledge of what Pastor Glenn said today. He's got you, and he's got this. So I sense today that as a body of believers, we can rise up together in courage as one body, one song, one heart, that when you feel troubled, when you feel afraid, remember, he's with you and he has a call on your life, and you will do what he wants you to do, and he will give you everything you need to do it with incredible success and the power of the Spirit behind it. I feel like that as a nation, we've crossed a threshold where the things of the Spirit we will begin to see in powerful, supernatural, tangible ways. And I believe it for this house, believe it for your family, believe it for your neighborhood, that God is going to open up the heavens and he's extending the scepter to you. We are his kings and queens in the name of Jesus.
I love my wife. Now I feel like I don't need to say anything. But this is for you, Pastor Glenn, specifically. You've certainly had plenty of words that clearly were given to you from God through many different individuals, and I'm not claiming to be like them or as good, but either way, I feel like God wants you to know that your time has come to shine. And I thought that was kind of an odd thing for him to say, because I feel like it's already been that way for a long time. I love Pastor Glenn. He wants you to know that the scripture that talks about your latter being greater than your former, if there were a dividing time between latter and former, you've moved into the latter, and it's only going to get better. And he wants you to know that all of your dreams are going to come to pass. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Spirit of God is here. And as Pastor was starting to talk about the commencement speech, God brought me so strongly and reminded me of Moses. Moses was educated in all ways in the Egyptians' ways. And as Pastor was talking to the graduates, I heard that we are all educated into this world and we are being prepared. And some of us are going, just like Moses, will enter into a desert phase. But as Pastor was preaching, the Spirit was whispering to me that there will be victory, just like in Moses, that there is a battle that is being launched towards us, the Christian. And as we seek that word, as we stand on the word of God, as we hear what he is saying to the church, and you're in the right church. Some of you have been asking, am I in the right place? Yes, you are in the right place where God is going to speak to you so that you know how to stand as the battle is launched towards you. So be strong. Be of courage. Remember that, yes, you have been educated in the ways of Egyptians, but you don't have to be like them. That if you stand and you hold on to the God that has taught you his word, he will teach you the tactics, he will teach you the way, the process, and he will finish it. Just like he did for Moses, you are an overcomer. God got you. He's got this. He is going to fight. He is the one fighting the battle. It's not you. It is not me. And if we allow the Spirit, he is rising within us. And right now we are being empowered. We are being empowered to face the battle that is coming upon us. And I want to tell you, just like Moses, we got this. We are going to win. The battle is his.
Twos, God says he's called you in twos to walk with him. He says each one of you will begin to walk out in the place that you're in. You have been given many things, but the things that I am about to bring on the earth have not been released yet. And you are to stand steadfast in my holiness and do not walk to the left or to the right, but you will walk forward. I have things to release in the days ahead. These are things from heaven that are part of the kingdom of God that will be coming down to the earth. They will empower you to do the greater works that I have spoken about in my word. I have held back all of the things that I wanted to do because I want to do more for all of my children. I want to see them prosper and grow and be healed, and I want to see their hearts be right with me. I want you all for myself. I will not compromise my word, and I will not compromise my church. I will not compromise my children. My relationship is with you. Personally, between us, we walk together. I have given you many things, but I have so much more coming. Heal and walk where you go. My name will be known throughout the earth, and my children will hold us together as we open the doors for the kingdom of God to come. Peace and joy are your strength. Walk with me in this, and you will never fail. Hold on, for many will be called, and few are chosen, but you are my chosen ones. Live and give and go, and do not fear, for God's ways are higher, and I will give you all that you need in the days ahead. My provisions are eternal, and they do not stop. I am who I am, says the Lord. I am who I am. Brastanada.
Amen. 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 Just put your hand over your heart for just one moment. Put your hand over your heart in the name of Jesus. May God release to you the gift of faith. You've got this because God's got you. You have got this because God's got you. Come on, I want you to, it's terrible grammar, but it's good preaching. I want you to make this your confession of faith. I want you to just say, I've got this because God's got me. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you, Father. Bless your people. Lord, I pray the cloud of your presence just envelop every person. Lord, command your angels to watch over us and our families. Lord, cover us with Jesus' blood. Bless all the work of our hands. Let everything we touch prosper. Let it bring a good result and a good financial return. Lord, guide your people this week. Lord, I thank you for words from heaven. Lord, clear, specific, direct promises from heaven. Lord, be with your people till we come together again. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great Sunday. VBS 6:30 tonight. Hope to see you here. God be with you.